Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Yesterday I was being urged to stay on for another few days in Nice, in the glorious sunshine of the south of France. But I said I had to get back to the wonderful students for the last week of term. And, of course, to our glorious British weather. Who wants to be in 25 degrees of glorious sunshine when you can live in the midst of this great abundance? Hallelujah. He sends his rain abundantly. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace be with you, my peace I give to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." The time of being sent out in placements is now at hand. And you know, there's a saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. This is where you're going to see what God has done in you. Now, the Spirit of God is moving in our lives all the time here, from week to week, day to day, really. But you only really see the evidence of how much He's done in you when it's put to the test, when you're out there where it matters, where you're having to communicate the gospel or the life and the power of Jesus. It's then that you see what He's done in you. In these last few weeks, I've been doing quite a bit of traveling, as you know. And every time I've gone out, it has been more powerful. This weekend in Nice was extremely powerful. We're not quite in that place of revival yet, but every time I go out and minister, I see more elements of that. And that has certainly been the case this weekend. God's people have been richly blessed. But you know, every time I go out, it's the Lord is sending me on a commission. He has a plan and a purpose. That commission is to be fulfilled. And what I need to hear Him say at the end of a time of ministry is that I've been faithful in fulfilling the commission that He's given me. And this is what Jesus is doing with the disciples. He's saying, the Father sent me on a commission. And I have fulfilled this commission. And I'm now going to return to heaven. But in the same way that the Father commissioned me, so I'm commissioning you. And just before this in John's Gospel, there's that incident of Jesus asking Peter three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And I've explained to you before, this has got nothing to do with restoring Peter after denying him three times. That's completely to misunderstand this event. That what Jesus is doing is commissioning Peter to feed the sheep, to feed his lambs. And he's saying to him, you can only do that if you have the love of God. Your human love will be insufficient to meet the challenge. And then you see, just after that event, there's this occasion when Jesus is commissioning all of them, not just Peter. As the Father has commissioned me, if you like, so now I commission you. So you are going to be sent out, those of you that are going to other places, those of you that are staying here to do your placement here, God still wants to use you here in ways that beyond anything that you've seen before. our driver over the weekend, because usually in when I go on ministries like this, there's somebody who drives you everywhere, and there's quite a lot of driving because there were four churches involved, and the meetings were in different ones of these churches, all in the Nice area. And she happened to be a lady dentist. She said at the end of the last meeting on Saturday, on Sunday, it was a very, very powerful day on Sunday. Right at the end, I'd been talking on the Sunday evening about the fact that we walk in faith and we walk in love, and what it really means to walk in faith. And right at the end of the meeting, I got everybody to turn to those around them and say, I'm going to walk in faith and I'm going to walk in love. And driving us back to the place where we were staying, this dentist said, I don't know what normally happens at your meetings, but for me this was extraordinary tonight. Because I turned to the man next to me, who I didn't know because he was from another church. And I said to him, I'm going to walk in faith and I'm going to walk in love. And the Lord is saying that your right knee is now completely healed. And he broke down in tears. And he said, how did you know that? And she said, I don't know, but I just know it. It transpired that he'd had some kind of injury, and he had been in constant pain with his knee for 5 years. And he was completely healed. Now, you see, healing of a knee, yeah, that's good, because all healings are good. You say, well, it's not quite like being healed of cancer or multiple sclerosis or something like that. But if you think of the two people involved, for that man to break down in tears, it was wonderful after 5 years of pain. He didn't need to be healed of cancer. He didn't have cancer. But what God did was to meet his need. So it was wonderful for him to receive such a healing. But it was also wonderful for this lady dentist. Never before had she seen God use her in such a way. Never before had she dared to say anything like that to anyone. Never before had the anointing of the Spirit been upon her to use her in that particular way. So that was a wonderful occasion for her. And she told us that she does a lot of witnessing as a dentist. Because the good thing about being a dentist is you can talk and they can't answer. The patients have to listen. So she does a lot of witnessing, but she'd never seen God use her like that before. And you see, this is the good thing that lies ahead of you guys. Because now you can see God use you in ways that you've never been used before. And it isn't that you've got to try to accomplish that. You simply have to be open to the Holy Spirit. As I was telling the folks in Nice all over the weekend, that the essence really of living at one with Jesus is just to listen to what the Spirit is saying and to obey Him, to put what He's saying into action. Because the Holy Spirit will only ever lead us into the will of God and the purposes of God. And when He tells us to do something, He's always going to supply the grace and the power and the anointing to do it. So, you know, you're on a winner every time. And you can see God do an immense amount so long as you keep listening to Him. And, as with the lady dentist, you just have the boldness to speak out what God is giving you to say. And don't sort of think, oh, that might not be right, or I don't know if this is really what is happening, or I haven't got any evidence of this. Trust Him. Because the Scripture says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You see, it's not on your understanding of the needs of the people that you will meet during the coming weeks, but how God can use you to influence and affect their lives. And this is the essence of what God is commissioning you to do. He's not just sending you out to heal the sick, although there may well be opportunities for you to do that. But he's sending you out to influence people. To influence them with the truth, to influence them with the gospel. You're being sent out in his name. Now, when you're commissioned or sent in the name of Jesus, it means you go with his authority. It also means you go with his anointing, because he always anoints us for what it is that he's commissioning us to do. So you can have the absolute confidence that you are going to be used greatly by the Lord. And, you know, don't be put off by the circumstances. Before I was, I had a very, very powerful conference the weekend before with all our relating churches in Italy. Now, before I went there, I knew it was going to be a very powerful weekend because all those guys are really up for it in Italy. I mean, they are expectant. They would all come with faith. They've been relating to Kingdom Faith, most of them, for several years. So, you know, they understand that God wants to move powerfully. And those annual conferences that they have are always powerful times of encounter with God. And the worship is always wonderful. The whole thing is going to be glorious. But Nice, I knew, was a very different situation. I went there last year, and it was almost as if you were having to break fresh ground. I don't mean that the Spirit of God wasn't moving, but in a very, 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 very gentle way was the Spirit moving. And we saw something of a breakthrough last year, which is why they invited me back. And there were just two churches involved last year. Now there were four churches because of what God did last year. And but, you know, I always expect good things, but I wasn't expecting really what God did this weekend, because he took us way past and beyond what I would have expected in the natural. And that's the anointing, isn't it, of God? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. But, you see, you can look at a situation and you can say, yes, everybody's up for it here, certainly going to be powerful. You can look at another situation and know it's not quite like that. There's, you know, lots of lovely people and all the rest of it, but there isn't the same level of faith or expectation. And yet, you see, with the anointing, God can break through that. God can move very, very powerfully. And I mean, many, many people got blessed and healed and liberated, absolutely liberated. Sunday morning, we had, there's certain meetings, they have a touch of special on them. And you just know God has done a kind of a sovereign work. And Sunday morning was like that. And it was Pentecost Sunday, of course, so we were focusing on the Holy Spirit. And I was teaching them what it means to be full of the Holy Spirit. God gave me a very simple illustration, similar to some of the things I've shared with you, but not quite the same. And it turned out to be something that was God used in a dynamic way. That's all I can say. If you imagine a glass and you pour water into it, and the water signifies the living water of the Holy Spirit. What God wants is for our cup to overflow. He wants the glass to overflow, doesn't he? And if the glass is empty, then the glass can be filled with the water. But imagine that the glass is half filled with stones. And you pour the water on the stones. Now the stones can't absorb the water. And if the glass is half filled with stones, you can only get half the amount of water in the glass. So you could look at this glass, half stones, half water, and you can say it's full. You could even say that it's overflowing a bit. But there's all these stones that are actually resistant to the work of the Holy Spirit. And what God was saying to the people is, these are the things in your life that God doesn't want. They actually hinder your witness. They hinder your life as a Christian. They are opposed to the working of the Spirit. And what God wants to do is to get rid of the stones, because the more the stones leave the glass, the more room there is for the Spirit. So it's a very simple illustration. But it had a very profound effect. And all I can say is the Spirit of God moved so powerfully that you could see people were just getting liberated. They were repenting of these stones. They were commanding the stones to leave them. They were God was taking stones out of people's lives. And I heard after, when I arrived for the evening meeting, because they had a sort of a barbecue picnic afterwards, to which I didn't have to go. I didn't say hallelujah, you thought that. All these people, and apparently all the time, everybody was testifying to everybody else how they got rid of their stones and how liberated and how free they were. So, you know, what you want is not just an illustration like that, but you want it actually to take effect in people's lives. So we had a glorious meeting in the evening, because when people came together, they didn't have the stones. Hallelujah! And you know, if you probably most of you haven't had gallstones or kidney stones, the most painful kind of pain that it's possible to experience, according to medics. Very, very painful. And you see, those stones are spiritually very painful. They cause us all kinds of pain. So God wants all the stones out, doesn't he? And that's what he's been doing to you all through this, well, this year, and especially this term. He's been getting the stones, all the things that resist the Spirit, all the things that cannot absorb the life of the Spirit and reveal the life of the Spirit. He's been getting those things out of your life. So there's more and more room for the Holy Spirit. And now, because your cup is given into the hands of the Lord and you've left it there, yes, you are going to see the overflow of all that God has been putting into your life during this time of placement. So he commissions you to go in his name, that is, to go with his authority, to speak, to act in the way in which the Spirit leads you. Of course, within the context of what you're asked to do by the leadership, you're not going there to lead the leaders, you're going there to submit to the leaders. Just be aware of that. You're not going there to judge the churches, you're going there to serve the churches. Amen. And sometimes, you know, you might be in a situation saying, what they need to do is boom, 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 boom. Yes, well, what you need to do is be quiet and just be and pray and be submissive and to use the opportunities that God is giving you. He's not sending you there as the answer to that church. He's sending you there to serve the church. And everybody said, not with much enthusiasm, but at least they said it. Okay, now, if we go out in his name, it's four ways in which we go out. In the prophecy of Isaiah, which is talking about the coming of the Messiah, it says this: his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name will be called. Now, that's, of course, referring to the Messiah. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, when you think for a moment what that means, wisdom, power, love, and peace. So God is sending you out in those four ways. He's sending you out in wisdom. Wonderful counselor. He is the Lord who has given us the other counselor exactly like him, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom. He gives us the wisdom, he gives us the right counsel, no matter what situation we're in. So wherever you find yourself, whatever you find yourself doing or being asked to do when you're out in placement, God will always give you the wisdom as to what to say, what to do, and even how to do it. Now, if you are sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you won't keep putting your foot in it and making a mess of things, because God will give you the wisdom. But you also go out, you see, in the name of the mighty God. He is the Lord, the Almighty, and nothing is impossible for him. So you have received power because you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you go out with his power. Not to do what you want, but he empowers you to do what he wants. And remember, when we walk by faith, we always leave the initiative with God. To walk by faith isn't saying, I'm believing the Lord to do, boom, 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 boom. That's not faith. Faith is listening and responding to the initiative that he says. When he tells us what to do, by faith we do it, and we have the expectation that what he promises to do as we obey the command will in fact come into being. So we have that mighty power. So when God speaks something like he did to that lady dentist, you can have the confidence to speak it out, because you know it's not you that is doing anything, but it's God. And all he's doing is using you to speak something that is going to create faith, or perhaps lead to somebody being healed, or somebody being really receiving a revelation from God that they need. Remember, it's not just about healing. Often you can bring a word from God which is right into a person's heart and situation, although you know absolutely nothing about them. And that is just as valuable to that person as receiving a word of healing. They hear God. And so you have this wonderful counselor, you've got this mighty God, you've got all his power and resources. And remember, if you do minister to people, you're not praying for them, you're healing them in the name of Jesus, you're imparting to them in the name of the mighty God. Are you there? So then, he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And this speaks, of course, of that constant love that God has for us, and the constant love that he has for the people that we're ministering to. So no matter what situation you're in, you can always have that confidence. Not simply that he's with you and that you're in him and he's in you, but he is loving you in that situation. And you know that the agape love of God means that he wants, he desires the very best for you. So you are sent out in his name with that wonderful counsel, with the mighty power of God, but also with this love. You're an ambassador of love. You are a messenger of love. Your life is an example of love. And what people want to see and need to see is the love of God. In what you say, in what you do, in the attitude that you have. People need to pick up the fact that you love them. Not just that God loves them, but that you love them, that even though you don't know them, God has given you a love for them. And somehow this will communicate to people. Remember, I've told you many times that the essence of revival is not the power and the evangelism and all those coming to the Lord, but this incredible love of God that grips the hearts and lives of those that are in revival. And it's that love that leads to all the evangelism and the miracles and everything. Because people are just trusting in the God who they know loves them and gives them, therefore, the confidence. You know, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And if we're filled with that love, we're going to obey His commands, aren't we? Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So we're going out with this wisdom, we're going out in power, we're going out in love, and we're going out in peace. And you see, before Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I send you, He said, peace be with you. And you know that peace is total well-being, isn't it? It's not just a greeting, shalom. It's total, the total well-being of God. So He wants you to be in that place of peace. He wants you to be in that place of total well-being with Him. This is why it's so important for you to begin the day in prayer, to begin the day abiding in His peace, receiving His peace, knowing His peace. No matter how challenging the circumstances may be for some of you, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in the knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. That peace that Jesus paid the punishment for on the cross, that peace that actually leads to you being healed by His wounds, He wants you to abide in that peace. And remember what I've taught you, that if ever you're in a tense situation, or if ever you feel that the challenge is almost too great for you, just get apart, just for a few minutes, sit down quietly, and just let the peace of God enfold you. Just say those words again and again, my peace I give to you. And the peace of God will descend upon you. Instead of the fear, the anxiety, or the tension, or whatever it is, the peace of God will just enfold you. Why? Because there's peace in the world. When Jesus says, peace be with you, peace is imparted. And remember that the words that you say impart life, or they impart death. That's why you won't speak any critical words or judgmental words, because that's speaking death. You're going to speak life. You're going to speak life into people's lives. And of course, your witness with those with whom you live, that you stay with when you're out there, they are going to look at the way you live to see whether you really are living the gospel. Your manner, your attitude, your will speak to them much more than, you know, you trying to witness. Your witness is who you are, not just what you say and what you do. And of course, those of you going out in teams, in twos and threes, it is absolutely essential that people see the love and unity between you, not tension, not division, not some competition, but they really see that love and unity, that you pray together, that you're one. All that is part of the witness that you need to give as you go out in the name of Jesus. So, He is the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. So you go out with wisdom, you go out with power, you go out in love, and you go out with the peace of God. So you're on a winner, aren't you? Before you go, because God is equipping you so fully for whatever lies ahead. And you never know what lies ahead. I mean, when I get on a plane and zoom off here, there, or everywhere, I never know exactly what is going to be at the other end. But that's part of the excitement. And this time, my luggage did arrive with me, which was much more convenient than what happened in Italy. But God wants you to succeed. That's something always to remember. it's not worldly to think like that. I mean, if you want to spiritualize it, say, God wants me to be fruitful. But what that actually means is God wants you to succeed. And he puts you in situations not for you to fail or to feel this challenge is too great. If you're faced with a great challenge, you're actually on the verge of a greater success. And you wouldn't want God just to ask you to do stuff that you're already familiar with, because you wouldn't grow in that way, and God wouldn't use you more extensively than he's used you in the past. So there's bound to be challenges. Now, you won't all be asked to, but if some of you are asked to preach, you say yes. You don't say, oh, no, I couldn't. Because, of course, you could. The scripture says use every opportunity to the full. So if you're asked to preach or you're asked to speak at a meeting, you will preach and you will speak at the meeting. Amen? Remember, your diplomas that you're going to receive at your thing. What you do on placement is also part of this, not just what's happened during the term time. So we should be listening to the reports that come back. We don't want to hear, well, we asked so-and-so to do something and they didn't want to do it. Well, that doesn't put a tick against your name, put something else against your name, doesn't it? So use every opportunity to the full, because you have the anointing and God wants you to succeed. Don't try to make God do more than he's leading you to do, because you don't succeed in that way. You can't push God, but he will lead you. Just remember, you're following him. You're not asking the Holy Spirit to follow you. You're not telling God what to do. He's telling you what to do. This is the whole point, that the whole genius of ministry is really listening to the Holy Spirit and responding to what he says. It's as simple as that. It really is as simple as that. You can't make it any more complicated, really, because that's all that is involved. And you have the anointing. Now, you're not going to take any stones with you. God's been getting rid of stones, but if there are any stones left in the bottom of your glass, get rid of them. You've got these last few days of term to do that, haven't you? Before you are sent out. Get rid of those things. I tell you, things are changing. I mean, I had that great weekend in Italy. And then this weekend, there was something different. And there was something different in what was happening, because there was something different in me. And if you'd asked me to define what it was, I probably wouldn't be able to do that. But I just knew that there was something different in me, in relation to what God was doing in me. And you see, that will inevitably have an impact on whatever I do. But the same principle is true for you. See, whatever God does in you will then have an impact upon what you do in his name. So, wonderful opportunities to grow. You see, because God is making you people of faith, you need to be in that place where you welcome the challenges. I was saying to some of the leaders I was talking to over the weekend that the greater the challenge, the better I like it. The more challenging the situation, the more I like it. Why? Because it's going to draw the best out of you, you see? Because you're going to have to depend upon the Lord. I mean, I don't mind whether I'm speaking to 30, 300, 3,000, or 30,000. But the bigger the meeting, the better I like it, because the bigger the challenge. You know, I'm not afraid to speak to thousands of people. I welcome every opportunity to do that. I'm not saying, oh, all these thousands of people. I think, oh, there's thousands of people to bless. There's thousands of people to meet with God. There's thousands of people to encounter God. But, you know, you stand sometimes on a platform in a very lonely position because there's nobody else except you and Jesus. And what you say and what you do is going to determine so much of what happens in that meeting. I know it's God, but he's using you as an instrument, you see. And okay, you're not all in that place of ministry yet. Some of you may be in the future. But even in one-to-one, you see, or even if you're just talking to a small group of people, the same principle is true. It doesn't matter the size of a meeting or the number of people that are involved. The same principle. If I'm talking to one, if I'm talking to 10, if I'm talking to 20, 200, 2,000, the same principle is operating all the time. That God is just using someone as his vessel, as his instrument, to communicate not just words, but his life. And that's what you need to understand as you go out. You are going out to impart life. You're going out there to impart life to those you stay with. You're going out there to support the leadership, the pastors, ministers, with the life that God has put in you. You're going to use every opportunity of ministry, of service. Remember, ministry is serving. You're going to use every one of those opportunities to impart life. And it's the life that is in you. It's the life that will then pour out of you, because God has put that life within you. And that's why it's so important to get rid of the stones, because you see, the more you are filled with that life, the more of that life you will be able to impart. Hallelujah. And some of you will get a real love for the people and for the place that you go to. Let me just tell you, that does not mean that God is calling you to that place. I always warn students of this. Because some of them, you know, some of the pastors may say, oh, well, you need to come and be. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, I go to all kinds of different places. Wherever I go, I'm in love with the people there, I'm in love with the place there. I could see what God could do there, because he gives me a love for the people, a love for the whole situation, because you've got to minister in love, haven't you? But then I go somewhere else and exactly the same thing happens. And I go somewhere else and exactly the same thing happens. But God isn't calling me to those places, he's just calling me there for a period of time to do a specific thing and then pass on. And so it will be with you. God is taking you to some places just for a few weeks. And yes, he'll give you a love, and you'll feel a bond with the people there. But that doesn't mean that's where God's calling you. Because if you went somewhere else, exactly the same thing would happen somewhere else. Now, sometimes some students do end up going to places where they're in their placement. But that's because that is tested by us, not by you. And nobody goes from here to one of the churches that relates to us without that being endorsed by the leadership here. Because all these things have to be put to the test. Because it's so easy just to get sort of emotionally charged and excited about a particular place. And you know, God is using you. And in a way, he's not using you here, because there aren't the opportunities here. But you're in those opportunities, God is using you. Oh, yes. This is what. But you see, wherever else you went, God would use you. That's what you've got to understand. So just because you get used by God in the next few weeks doesn't mean, ah, now I know what I'm going to do when I leave here. You'll go where God wants you to go when you leave here. And that isn't necessary to the place where you're going to be in placement. So one last thing. If you end up in a place and you think, I don't know how I'm going to stick this, thank God that you're there. Because he's going to work some good stuff in you. Amen? He's going to work some good stuff in you if you know, you feel, oh, this is so difficult. Yes, that's great. Because now God is going to stretch you. God is going to do some new stuff in you. God is perhaps going to break some of your pride. He's going to humble you. And that's always a good thing, because he raises up the humble, doesn't he? So before if there's proud people, before he raises them up, he deals with them, makes them humble, gets some humility into them. Then he raises them up. So, hallelujah. And just one last thing I'll say. Whatever you say and do, right, reflects back on Jesus. Rafi's got a certain reputation, which is why we have churches relate to us and why people want us to send students to them. But you go as an ambassador for Jesus, but also as an ambassador for Kingdom Faith. Whatever you do will either glorify the Lord or not, and will either give Kingdom Faith a good name or not. And we don't want students going out and doing stupid things that do not glorify God and do not reflect the life that is here in Kingdom Faith. That's why he sends us out first with wisdom. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. And you'll probably find it helpful to begin every day with that scripture when you're out on placement or here on placement. Thank you that today, Lord, you will be my wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And you probably guessed by now, this is another of the scriptures that I speak over my life every day without fail. Whether I'm out in ministry or whether I'm here, whatever I'm doing, every day his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Praise God. Let's all stand. Come into the middle. Nice, simple, gentle little word this morning. Equipping word. So I want you to thank the Lord for a full glass. We've used the illustration of a cup, haven't we, in the last few weeks. It's a similar illustration, but just thank him that your cup is full, your glass is full of the living water of the Holy Spirit. Thank him for all the stones that he's taken out during the course of the year. He's taken many, many stones out, many hindrances out of your life, many things that had nothing to do with the will and the purpose of God. He's taken them out. They've gone. Those things could not absorb or reveal the life of the Spirit. They were resistant, but they've gone. Come on, give him thanks for all those things. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Why don't you tell him, Lord, I don't want any stones in my life. I don't want anything in my life that resists the life and the empowering and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, if there are still any stones, I ask you to show me what they are so that I can come against them in your name. Command them to leave my life. Repent of them so that they no longer have any influence in my life whatsoever. I'm sure there's some things in every one of us, and I'd include myself, none of us are in that place of perfection yet. So come on, let's get rid of the stones. Perhaps there's no big stones left, but there might be some grit, you know. Get rid of the grit. Because again, that can't absorb the water. It just displaces where the water should be. So come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so mighty. That as soon as we turn to you, as soon as we open our hearts to you, as soon as we confess these things, you not only forgive us, but you deliver us. You set us free. You take these things out of our lives. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We don't want any of those things. Come on, give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. We bless your holy name. We praise your holy name. We glorify your holy name. Poparazandaria leto bakala sandara sima. Poparazandaria leto bakala sanda bakala sima. Hallelujah. It is for freedom, Christ has set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Now let's just take these four aspects of the name of Jesus, the name of God, Wonderful Counselor. Just thank him that he is your Wonderful Counselor. That he is your wisdom from God. So he is your holiness, your righteousness, your redemption. Thank Jesus that he said he would give that wonderful counselor, that other counselor exactly like him, who would be with you forever. He's not going to take the anointing away. You're never going to be without anointing. No matter what it is, God is asking of you in these coming weeks. Thank him that he is your wonderful counselor. And the wonderful counselor is on the inside of you. Amen. Just tell the Lord that you want to remain sensitive to his voice. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Kora tapakala sandama. Bazandaria leto bakala sita balanta. That you'll be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit and by his grace, obedient to every leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just pray this over your life. Yes, 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 yes. Then thank him that he's your mighty God. And you have received power because you have received the Holy Spirit. So thank him that the mighty power of God is at work within you. The wisdom, the power, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going, he's commissioning you, sending you out with wisdom. He's sending you out with power. So thank him that you have the power already to do whatever he asks you to do, whatever challenges are put in front of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. Kupara sandaria leto bakala sandaria leto. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Remember, it's not your power, it's the power of Christ in you. That's the secret. The secret is Christ in you. So His power will go forth. Now, why don't you pray that God will use you in the coming weeks in ways that you've never been used before? That you will see the power of God in your life and through your life, touching the lives of others in ways you've never seen before. That He will take you to a new place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pora taparia leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sitri sam. Opa para sandaria leto bakala sitri sandaria leto bakala sitri sam. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. Popara sandaria leto bakala sandaria lena. Opara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandi. Opa para sarabaria leto bakala sandi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now thank Him that He's your everlasting Father, eternal Father, never changing Father, that His love is always the same. His love is always consistent, that He's sending you out in love. In love, He wants you to succeed. In whatever He puts before you, whatever challenges, He wants you to succeed. Hallelujah. All you have to do is to trust the wonderful Counselor, to trust the mighty God, to trust the love of the everlasting Father. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We praise your holy name. We bless your holy name. We exalt your holy name. Popara sandaria lero bakala sandara basunda. Bastagalaria lero bakala sitri sandara. Bastagalaria lero bakala sitri sandara. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And thank Him, He's the Prince of Peace. He's going to keep you in peace. You're not going to be full of fear, because the perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. You're not going to be tense. You're going to live in the peace of God. The peace of God will descend upon you every day. Just remember what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Peace I give to you. He gives you peace as He sends you. So thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Popara sandaria basandaria leto bakalasan. Oh, I can't hear enough praise in this room. Hallelujah. Popara sandaria leto bakalasitri san. Oh, papara sandaria leto bakalasitri san. Oh, papara sandaria leto bakalasitri san. Right now, I just want you to be still. I just want you to listen for a moment. Because there's something else very important that God wants to do. You know, over the years, I've had a series of secretaries. Usually they've been young ladies. And when they begin, I mean, I don't have sort of full-time secretaries like I used to have. I used to have sort of two full-time secretaries because there was that much work for them to do. But when when they began, they would always be a little bit fearful of me. A little bit awed, you know, what's it going to be like to be working for Colin Urquhart? And I know they'll soon get over that as they get to know me. But one of the other things that so often they've felt they've had to do in the early time is to impress me, to try to impress me in some way. And I usually sit them down after a week or two and say, look, you don't have to be afraid of me and you don't have to impress me. You just have to relax and be yourself and let God just use you in the way that He does. Now, this is very important as you're sent out, you see. You don't need to be afraid, even of those that are in authority, but you're not being sent to try to impress anyone. Because if you try to impress people, you put yourself under a false pressure. And all the time you're wondering, what do they think of me? What does the pastor think of me? What does this person think of me? What does that person think of me? That's not a good way to go out in His name, is it? You know, when I go out to places like this weekend, I wasn't going out there to impress the pastors. I had a day on Saturday with 80 pastors and leaders, but you know, I wasn't trying to impress them. I didn't want to produce a ministry that they, oh, this man's ministry, wow. No, no, no. All I wanted to do is be faithful to what God was wanting. That's all you have to do. Don't think you've got to try to impress people. All you've got to do is to please the Lord. See? And if you listen to what He says, do what He says, use the opportunities He gives you, He will be pleased with you. And you'll have a good report. Because you see, the leadership where you go, they will know, oh, they didn't come to try to impress me, but they really were used by God. That's a good report, isn't it? What people need to say at the end of time is not, oh, what a wonderful Christian you were, but how great God is. Huh? How much God actually used you. And some of our students in past years, they've been used in wonderful, mighty ways. But what matters is that in the situation in which you're placed, God does in you and through you what He wants to do. That's all. So let's just close our eyes and pray together before we finish. Father, thank You that we don't have to try to impress men. Thank You that Paul said, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So Lord, we don't want to please men, but we want to please You. And we want to be pleasing You by being sensitive to Your voice, obedient to what it is You're saying. And we just give You glory, we give You honor and praise. We bless Your holy name, we praise Your holy name. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus. O papara zandaria letto per calasita di sangue. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Oh, come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give him glory as we finish. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Do you remember that word we had some time ago now about being like the olive tree in the orchard of the Lord? And how all those olives, you squeeze them and what comes out is oil. Yeah? And that's a symbol, of course, of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. All those little things that are the little works of the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're going to find in the coming weeks. Lots of olives. There may be a few oranges. You know, the big things, the miracles, the things that stand out. But what matters more than anything are all those little works of the Spirit. So it's not just the big things, it's not just the healings and things like that. It's all the little works of love and service and encouragement and so on. So you're going to be mightily fruitful. I said you're going to be mightily fruitful. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.